Unless you're planning a wedding, you probably had no idea that we're entering the busiest season of the year for saying, I do. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true. Traditionally, June was considered the height of the wedding season, but that's no longer the case. How does that affect the cost of a wedding, and how can you save money on yours? I'll talk about that today with Crystal Payne, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is family financial expert Crystal Payne. She's a sister in Christ and the creator of the amazing website MoneySavingMom.com. Crystal, it's great to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having me again.
We're delighted. Hey, why don't we start there around MoneySavingMom.com? I know it's been a few years since you've been with us, so take us back briefly to 2006 when you started MoneySavingMom.com and tell us the background.
Yeah, so my husband and I have been married for 20 years, and he started law school soon after we got married. We wanted to stay out of debt, and so we set this audacious goal. We were going to go through law school debt-free, started learning a lot of ways to maximize the mileage of our money, and in the process, I got pregnant, wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, found this thing called blogging, and from there, just started talking about saving money, and people were just eating it up, and so eventually then started MoneySavingMom.com as a place to just really help people to be intentional with their finances.
Well, and now more than ever, folks really are grateful for that assistance you're providing. I suspect you've seen a lot of changes since 2006 in the cyber world and how blogs function and how people relate to you. But the value that you're providing hasn't changed, that's for sure. Well, as you know, today we're going to tap into some of your expertise around a specific topic, and that is weddings. So what's the first thing someone planning a wedding should do to save money?
The biggest thing is you need a budget. Like, you can't just go and be like, well, we want to have a great wedding. Start with, okay, how much money can you realistically devote to paying for this wedding? And really thinking about what are your priorities when it comes to that budget. And I highly recommend that you do not go into debt. It is not worth it. You can simplify. You can have a great marriage even with a very simple wedding. And so creating a budget by category and then deciding, okay, what are the categories that we want to prioritize and put a little bit more money in? And where are the areas that it's just not that important to us? For instance, when we got married, I didn't care that much about having great photos, but I wanted to have really nice flowers. And so kind of deciding that ahead of time really helped us to be wise then as to where we were going to prioritize our money.
Yeah, no doubt. And so having that budget, but also that conversation about what's important is really key. Any big trends that are changing, Crystal, with regard to weddings? I mean, you know, are we seeing more weddings that are a little smaller in scale and the big weddings, 30, 40, 50,000 are a thing of the past? Or are we still seeing these gigantic weddings?
I think one of the things that I really see, especially when it comes to online, because so much is now kind of for Instagram, it seems like it's this whole experience. And so they might have a smaller amount of people coming to the weddings, but I feel like they're spending just as much or even more because it's not just this one night or one afternoon, but a lot of times it'll be this week-long experience.
Yes, and that obviously can add up. And again, really important to define what it is that you're trying to solve for with the wedding, what's most important to you. Well, when we come back from our break here, Crystal, I want to talk about what we're seeing in terms of the wedding season. Because as we said in the introduction, the wedding season, which had previously been in June as the height of the season, is now shifting to the fall. And so perhaps that's affecting the cost of weddings. I know you're going to weigh in on that and tell us how we should think about that. Are there any areas we can skimp on? I know you're going to give us some input into that. And you're going to help us just think about some of the practical areas that we need to consider so that we can deliver this wedding on budget. Because as you said, setting that budget at the forefront and really sticking to it is absolutely key to being able to have the wedding of your dreams, but without ending up with a lot of debt on the back end. Crystal Payne with us today from MoneySavingMom.com. We're talking about saving money on your wedding. Much more practical advice coming just around the corner. And then your questions at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Back with much more right after this.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The story of shame starts early. My daughter never forgets vivid childhood memories, throwing up on the school bus riding home, or when she was taunted by fifth grade bullies. Even as adults, shame can still plague our lives. We can fear if our flaws are revealed, people around can scorn us. Jesus experienced shame on the cross. He was naked when others gambled for his clothes. He was spit on, mocked, whipped, and then nailed for all to see, but he didn't shrink back. In fact, he shamed shame. When he died and was raised, shame was rendered powerless. When shame seeks to control your life today, you can overcome by looking to Jesus' victory on your behalf. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, family financial expert Crystal Payne of MoneySavingMom.com. Today, we're talking about saving money on your wedding as we enter the fall, which is a very busy wedding season. And Crystal, as we said, according to TheKnot.com, about 43% of weddings take place between September and November. So how does that affect the cost of a wedding?
Well, so many venues, so many different people like photographers and the cake decorators and all the different people that do things, wedding services, they're going to usually charge more because they can. They can charge a premium during those months. So if possible, one great way to save is by not having your wedding when it is the ideal wedding season. And
yes,
think about something like December through February. You're going to save a lot if you go in the off season. It's going to also be easier to find people to take pictures, you know, to be able to find that venue because they're not going to be so booked up and you're probably going to spend a lot less because they're not going to be charging a premium.
Yes, no doubt about that. Well, as we begin to dive into some of the specific areas, obviously the wedding gown is a big one. There's a whole cable reality show now on just picking out a wedding gown, and the price tags are breathtaking. So how can we save money in this area?
Well, you could do what I did, and that was I wore my mom's wedding gown, actually, okay. So it cost me nothing.
There you go.
You could get creative like that. But there are a lot of places online that actually have great deals. And so if you know that you are going to be getting married sometime in the next year, paying attention, for instance, David's Bridal, they do sales a few times a year and have great prices. I mean, we're talking like $99 for wedding dresses. And so Planning ahead can really save you a lot of money there. Also, you could borrow one from a friend. I mean, You only wear your wedding gown once. If you really, you know, if that's something that you're like, I don't really care that much. I just want to have a great gown, borrow one. Or, you know, really just looking around and seeing if there are places that sell overstocks. There are some different stores that will sell wedding dresses that didn't necessarily sell in the nice stores. And so you can oftentimes find some great deals that way. And so I think getting a little creative and not just going to the bridal gown store and thinking outside the box are ways that you're going to save a lot of money there.
Yeah. Now, I know consignment and thrifting has become a big trend these days, one that you cover extensively at Money Saving Mom. I'm assuming there's not a wedding gown section in those stores yet, though. Is that right?
Well, they do have some, I mean, it's things that could count as a wedding gown.
Okay.
I know that usually they're going to be ones that are going to be fairly dated, though. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Good advice. All right. Well, quickly behind the gown would be, of course, the cake. They have shows about those, too. So how can you save on a wedding cake but still have something that you're excited about?
Well, first off, I would look into, is there anyone you know who actually can decorate cakes well? Because a lot of times you might have someone in your circle of friends who is a great cake decorator, and they could do, it might not be the most elaborate cake ever, but it would be a great cake and it would save you a lot of money. The other thing is, do you need to have a wedding cake that's this huge cake that's going to serve everyone? Or could you go with a smaller cake? This is what we did for our wedding. We had a small wedding cake and then we did sheet cakes for the normal, you know, everyone who is going to eat the wedding cake. The other thing I would say is, do you want to have cake? I know lots of weddings now that are thinking outside the box and doing things like donuts or brownies or ice cream. So if a wedding cake is not something that you're dead set on, know that you can get creative and do something else. And sometimes people like it a lot more.
Yes. Well, I know grooms will often go off the reservation a bit with regard to not having cake. I was at a wedding recently where there was the wedding cake, but the groom, instead of having a groom cake, he wanted those donuts you were talking about. And so that was kind of fun. I think people got into that. All right. What about the wedding venue itself? How do we keep that cost down?
Well, obviously, starting with, if you go to church, could you hold the wedding in your church? Maybe it's not going to be this beautiful outdoor venue, but it's probably going to be a lot less expensive. And I think there's a lot of meaning there to get married in your church. Just, you know, thinking of what the purpose of a wedding is, and that it's really this, you know, special ceremony before God. And so I think starting with that, you could also look around if your church isn't large enough or you're not able to hold your wedding there. Are there other churches in the area that they might be able to host your wedding, or look for something like a county-run facility that has a historic site or some maybe a little bit more outside the box that it's not, doesn't say wedding ceremonies? Because I have found that anytime something says wedding, whether it's wedding photographer, wedding venue, whatever, if it has wedding before it, I feel like they just jack the price up.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So getting a little creative as you select, perhaps something off the beaten path may pay off. All right. Obviously, when it comes to planning a wedding, there are all kinds of vendors. So any general rules for choosing vendors, from musicians to caterers to photographers and the like?
I would first say, don't just hire the first one you meet with. I found that it's very helpful if you get three quotes, just like you would do if you were going to have some work done on your house. You probably wouldn't just have one person come in. So get a few different quotes. You might find that there's a huge difference in price, or you might just find that you really like the style of this particular vendor, or that you like their personality, or you just feel like it's going to be a better fit for what you're looking for. And so meet with at least a few different ones. Make sure that they are reputable, that you have some references, and really sometimes it's easy. We just want to go for whatever is the cheapest, but I think it's important that you make sure that you're also getting quality and someone who's actually going to show up and do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah, that's really critical. You only get one chance at that, so you need to make sure they're going to be there. All right, last question, and I think it's one that everyone getting married grapples with, and that is it cost effective to hire a wedding planner? What do you think?
For me personally, for our wedding, I feel like it was the best investment that we made for an entire wedding, just because it took so much off of my plate to be able to have this woman who was just, she knew what she was doing. She'd done a lot of weddings and she was able to just keep everyone in line. And it just made the day go so much smoother. The other thing is some wedding planners now, they can also negotiate prices. And so if you hand off, planning for different vendors, they can go out and they can do a lot of that work for you, and they can work within your budget as well, which is why it's so important that you have a budget. So it just depends. There's some different levels of what they will do, but it might be worth it for the time that they're going to save you, the stress that they're going to save you, and maybe also they're going to end up saving you money.
Yeah. What advice do you have for parents, Crystal, on communicating with their, let's say, daughter around the budget that they're allowing for the wedding well in advance, so there's not unmet expectations there?
I think, it starts with building that trust relationship with our kids. So it's this foundational thing of them understanding we love you, we care about you, but also we have priorities and we want you to think of the future. And so, yes, it's great to have a beautiful wedding, but if you are going to spend $50,000 to have this beautiful wedding and then you're going to be in debt, or it's going to cause a lot of financial hardship for years and years to come, that's not really worth it. And so really having those conversations about the why behind how you spend your money and being intentional with your money and what priorities are, I think it's going to really make a big difference in the long run for your relationship. And hopefully you'll get to have a great wedding on a smaller budget.
I love it. That's such great advice. Well, we're out of time today, but thanks for all that great information, Crystal, on saving on weddings.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
That's family financial expert Crystal Payne at MoneySavingMom.com. That's MoneySavingMom.com. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Stand Radio, we'll talk to Dr. Jerry Newcomb about the decline in patriotism and how to promote a heart of gratitude in our children. Plus, we'll look at God's design for grandparents and share some great advice on how they can be a better influence to their grandchildren.
So I like to say to grandparents, we want to move from Christian grandparenting to intentional Christian grandparenting.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice.
More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'd love to turn the corner now from weddings to talk about whatever you're thinking about today financially. We've got lines open. We're ready to dive into anything financial today at 800-525-7000. Again, you can call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. You know, as we talk about weddings, clearly that's one of those big ticket items that we'll have. You know, the key to that is obviously saving, planning well in advance to have money set aside for those things that, well, you know, are coming down the pike. And being able to plan that in your budget, I think, is so critical. That's why we love using the envelope system, whether that's a physical envelope, like Larry Burkett talked back in the day, or a digital envelope like we have in the FaithFi app, which you can check out and download at faithfi.com. Just click app. What it does is gives you a bucket, if you will, an envelope where you're setting money aside on a systematic basis to be able to save for future expenses. And we love for you to be able to do that. You can see that amount growing. You can automate your savings, which is always an effective strategy when it comes to trying to set money aside for the future, because you can have that come out of every paycheck. And maybe if you set it and forget it, it will actually happen, right? You build it into your plan. And even that $25 or $50 a month, or maybe you can cut some things back and get it up to $100 or $200 a month. I mean, $200 a month over the years, $2,400. Now you're well on the way to that next car purchase for cash, or at least with a much larger down payment. You're on your way to saving for that house, that home purchase. Maybe it's that wedding that you're planning for, but you know it's a few years down the road, but you want to have the money on hand so we don't have to put it, incur any debt as a result of it. Now, what's great about the online savings accounts that they have these days is that it really helps you to have, if you want, a separate account for each of these savings goals, because they're free. They don't often have any minimums. They don't have transaction requirements. And so you literally can name each savings account according to your savings goal, or put it in one savings account and, again, use the FaithFi app with digital envelopes set up for each of those savings goals. And the great thing is, through the secure connection to each of your financial institutions, it will actually download all of that data automatically, so you know exactly where you stand. You can take what's in your checking or your savings account and actually allocated out in the app to each of the envelopes, so that you know, based on what's in those accounts, what it's allocated for, what envelope is it in, and what ultimately will that money be used for. And then the great thing is that you and your spouse at any point can open up the app and just say, how much do we have left in eating out? What's left in clothing or, restaurants, whatever category it is, and you can make real-time decisions to curb your spending, which is always critical, especially now when we have inflation. Even though it's down, remember, inflation is cumulative. So all of those major increases we saw last year haven't gone away. and we're continuing to build on top of them with a 4% roughly inflation rate this year on top of those massive 40-year high increases last year. So I don't have to tell you, expenses are up across the board, and that means we've got to dial into that budget even more. It's so critical that we have a spending plan that balances. Because remember, we talk about this all the time, spending less than you earn is the key to every financial success. It starts there. You have to get to the place where you can live within your means, and even better than that, live within your means and have some margin, because that margin is what's ultimately going to fund those longer-term goals that you have, whatever they are. And here's the thing. Those goals need to align with your values. You see, the purpose of money is not just to have more of it. The purpose of money is to accomplish a set of goals informed by your values. Who are you as a child of the living God? And what is he doing in your life? And how can money be a tool to accomplish those things? You see, when we start at the values level, it should then inform the practical decisions and choices that we're making. And that's ultimately going to bubble up into specific savings goals that have been thought over and prayed over, and ultimately allow you to get to a place where you have a plan that reflects God's heart and you know what you're saving for and why. It's not just a mindless accumulation of wealth, but it all comes back to that spending plan, whether it's a wedding or building up an emergency fund or saving for a car or a giving goal that you set where you want to be able to do even more or be ready to do even more as the Lord leads. I hope that's an encouragement to you today, and we really would love for you to check out the FaithFi app if you want to get serious about creating that spending plan. It's a modern, beautiful application to, again, Larry Burkett's tried and true envelope system that he introduced us to so many years ago that we still hear from folks every week that use it. Many of them are still using the physical envelope system where, at least for those discretionary categories, those things you don't get a bill for, they're actually still carrying those envelopes around, and every paycheck, they know what kind of cash denominations they need so they can fund their envelopes, and it's become a very effective way to manage money. But if you want to transition to a more digital, simpler approach, that's where I think the FaithFi app can be really helpful to you. All right, we're going to be headed toward a break here in just a moment, our first break of this segment. But when we come back, we're going to be taking your questions. So here's the thing. What are you thinking about financially today? What's going on in your financial life that you'd love to know what God's word says about it, and you want to really think deeply about how you can apply the principles and passages we see in Scripture to whatever you're wrestling with today, whether that's your lifestyle, that spending plan we've been talking about, or maybe something else like your investments, maybe when to take Social Security, maybe it's your credit score and how to get that under control, perhaps get that going in the right direction, maybe it's debt repayment. What's the best way to pay off credit cards? Debt settlement, debt consolidation, or debt management? They're very different. I like one of them. I don't like the other two. Perhaps we can talk about that, or maybe it's giving wisely. Whatever it is today, we'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open. You can call right now. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll take a quick break and back with much more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance for American Family Radio. I'm Rob West.
We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Lines are open right now. We're ready for you at 800-525-7000. Whatever's going on in your financial life, we'd love to tackle it with you. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be taking those calls in just a moment. But first, what about solving financial problems? You know, in the midst of economic bad news, you may be facing financial problems of your own. Well, if that's the case, do you have a plan to solve your problems? You know, too often we let our anxiety and fear determine how we respond to personal hardship. But anxiety and fear are tools of the enemy to distract us from following God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So here's the thing, folks. If you feel your financial problems are eating you up, take heart. God is aware of what's going on with you, and He can bring you through those struggles. The fact is, as believers, we are much loved children of the Lord God Almighty. So we can handle financial problems in a different way, following biblical principles. And here's how. I would say the key is, first, run to God. Proverbs 18:10 tells us why this is an effective strategy. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You see, if we put our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're counted among the righteous, and running to the Lord's safe tower is your privilege as a Christ follower. When you're facing financial problems, you can put them before the Lord in prayer, trusting Him to sustain you and provide for you through those hard times. You know, so often we fail to invite God into our financial lives. We might invite Him into other areas, but we tend to leave Him out of our financial lives. Well, let's invite Him into that through prayer. And then it's difficult, but you have to admit that you can't fix things on your own. So the first big idea, run to God first. I'll share the other two thoughts that I have on dealing with your financial problems biblically in just a moment. Let's head to the phones. We've got lines open at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Georgia. Marie, you'll be next on the program. Go ahead.
Thank you. Please, sir, I'm 75 years old and still working 5 or 6 days a week, unfortunately, part-time job. I didn't think I'd get this age, so I realized that I probably need to have gotten long-term care. I also see that I'm going to have a good bit of medical debt. Right now, I am debt-free, and I didn't know whether to consider my bank is offering a $10,000, not term, anyway, the other kind of life insurance for $50 a month.
Yes,
and I think the long-term care is going to be, I don't know, 400 or something a month because of my age. And I don't know if I'm insurable because I'm a cancer survivor, and I have diabetes and rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes, yes. Well, I appreciate that background, Marie. Yeah, at 75, it really does become pretty cost prohibitive. And I agree, given your health status, you may not even be insurable with regard to long-term care. You know, it would be very expensive at this point. We recommend you get it somewhere between 55 and 65. So 75 is going to be quite a bit outside that range. You know, and life insurance, you know, what would you be the purpose of that? Is there somebody that's depending upon you for that income where a hardship would be created at your death?
Just the debt that I'll have, medical, it would mostly be medical debt, and I would, that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay.
I do have a full life insurance that's very limited, and I've donated my body to medical science.
Yeah. Well, are you married?
No.
Okay. So your medical debt is not going to be transferred to anybody else. So, you know, it will just be satisfied out of your estate. So any assets that you have at your death will be liquidated and satisfy any outstanding debts, including, you know, medical debt that you might have. What assets do you have? Do you own a home?
I own a home, and that I just had to get repairs for. And, oh, I do own those. And
okay.
Then I own a car, and I've got 1 year to pay off both of them.
Okay, great. So once those are paid off, and even if they aren't, they have equity. So at your death, those would be sold. As long as you have a valid will, it will state who receives the proceeds of your estate, which is after everything's liquidated, the house, the car, your personal effects, anything you have in savings or checking, investments, things like that, will all be available to satisfy any outstanding obligations that you have, like medical debt or any other kind of debt or obligations. And then the proceeds are able to be shared either with a ministry or charity or an heir, somebody you choose to leave that money to. But there's really not a need for life insurance at this point, Marie. That's just going to be an expense that's going to eat up in increasing way as you age your monthly resources, which really you need right now to cover your living expenses, pay your medical bills, save, so you have some margin. You don't need to be paying for expensive life insurance at this point to cover debts that will be paid for out of the proceeds of your assets, namely your house. So that's an expense you can eliminate. And I think, despite the fact that I'm a fan of long-term care insurance, because 70% of Americans 65 and older will need some form of long-term care for at least, you know, 18 months to 2 years on average. And it can be very expensive. You know, full skilled nursing care can run $10,000 a month. But if you're in a situation where you have assets of, let's say, you know, $250,000 or less, you're probably going to be relying on government assistance for that care anyway. And you know, spending money on a really expensive premium, even if you could get it, it will be very cost prohibitive. So I think both of those are expenses you could eliminate and then just have more margin in your monthly budget that allows you to save as diligently as you can.
Thank you so, so much.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling today, Marie. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Jeffrey, a first-time caller in Missouri, is going to be up next. However, we're up on a break here in just a moment. So, Jeffrey, I'm going to ask you to hold the line. We'll come to you first right after this break. And we do have a few spots remaining. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to tackle it with you. 800-525-7000. Hey, before we take this break, you know, I was mentioning earlier that there are three ways to settle debt or take care of debt: debt settlement, debt consolidation, and debt management. I mentioned there was two that I don't like. Those two that I don't like are debt settlement, where you stop paying and it gets into arrears, eventually charged off, trashes your credit, and a company will, quote unquote, come in and negotiate a lower payoff. I wouldn't touch that. The other is debt consolidation, where you take out a new loan to pay off existing debt. I'd leave that alone as well. And I'd use debt management for credit card debt. Contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Get those interest rates down and have one level monthly payment. Back with much more right after this.
Where envy and jealousy grow as weeds, the flower of godly love cannot flourish. And unless you are willing to face that as God sees it and deal with it as sin, then you will be a cripple in your ability to love for the rest of your life.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, Love's Power Over Envy, next time on Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Are you able to stand steadfast in this post-Christian world? Join Frank Turek, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Richard Howe, and more than 40 other speakers for Southern Evangelical Seminary's 29th Annual Steadfast National Conference. No matter where you are on your faith journey, you will leave this event better equipped to penetrate the culture with the gospel and defend the truthfulness of Christianity. It all happens October 13th and 14th at First Baptist Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Register now at ses.edu/nationalconference.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Two lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones to a first-time caller in Missouri. Hi, Jeffrey. How can I help you?
How you doing, Rob? Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Got a question. Father-in-law in North Carolina, he's retired, is selling some property he's lived on his whole life. It's under $250,000. I think it's even more, around $200,000 he's going to be getting. And he's worried about capital gains and taxes that he has to pay. And he's even thinking about working something out with the seller that would pay him over 3 years, okay, so he wouldn't have to pay taxes. I don't think any of this is correct. Can you tell me what he would be looking at, basically, if he sold this property?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. So this was his primary residence over the last two out of the last 5 years, correct?
Yeah, I believe that's the way he's got it stated. He's had this in, you know, his whole life. This is where he grew up. But he often took another wife, okay, a different wife. This is his third marriage. And at times he lives with her at her house. But I'm not sure if he counts that as his primary residence or not.
Okay. Well, basically, the way that you know, they define that is, you know, it's the dwelling where you live full time or at least most of the year is considered your primary residence. So it's an important status for tax considerations. You have to live, you know, in there for the majority of the year, and you can only have one primary residence at a time. It's generally the one listed on your driver's license, tax returns, and other official documents. So if he can consider this as primary residence, and if there's a question about that, he'd want to check with the CPA. Then, you know, he's lived there 2 out of the last 5 years as his primary residence. Then he would have the ability to, if he files as a single person, up to $250,000 in gain, not the selling price. He'd have up to $250,000 in profit that would be excluded from capital gains. So he wouldn't pay anything. Now, if he can't meet the definition of this being his primary residence because he's living the majority of the year elsewhere, 2 out of the last 5 years, you know, he can't meet that threshold, then it would be considered, you know, not his primary residence, and therefore the gain would be subject to a long-term capital gain. Now, does he file as an individual person?
That I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to ask. I mean, according to law, he is married. Okay. So I'm not sure how they do file.
Okay. All right. And how much income does he have on an annual basis? Do you know roughly?
Well, he's just got a retirement coming in, so that's my other missing factor. I do not know exactly what that is.
Okay, because, you know, that would be, I mean, let's say it's not his primary residence, then if he's married filing jointly, if he has less than $89,000 in adjusted gross income, then his capital gain rate is zero for a long-term capital gain. If he's filing as a single person, because, you know, it's a third marriage and, you know, they just aren't filing together, then he'd be able to have up to $44,000 in adjusted gross income for the year, and he would still be at a 0% capital gains rate. There is not any capital gains. Now, if he goes above that, then, you know, he'd be in the 15% rate, which just means that of all the profit, so the selling price minus his original purchase price minus any improvements he made along the way that increased the value of the property, that would be his gain, and then he'd pay 15% in the form of capital gain. So I think the first question is to determine maybe you and he, maybe with his CPA, can he consider this his primary residence? And if he can, for 2 out of the last 5 years, then given the selling price you're describing, he absolutely wouldn't have any capital gains because you said the selling price is actually below $250,000, and he would have up to $250,000 in profit that could be excluded.
Okay, when we're talking 15%, that is federal, but he would not have to pay any state capital gains, correct?
No, he may. Yeah. So that would be in addition to the federal.
Okay. I thought North Carolina had a flat tax all the way across if you didn't basically make or sell anything more than $250,000.
And that may be true. It varies by state. So you would have to check with a CPA there in North Carolina to find out. A majority of states have an additional tax, you know, when you're paying capital gains, but somewhere between 3% and 13%, but it just depends on the state.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like I got to figure out a couple factors first before I can plug everything in.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it shouldn't be terrible even if he has one, but there may be a chance here if this is where he's been living the majority of the year that, you know, he could exclude all of this from capital gains. So, you know, if he wants to do any giving out of this money, the other option, if he is going to have capital gains, is to give away a portion of the property to a donor advised fund before the sale. And then that would be excluded from capital gains as well. But he may not be planning to do that, and that's fine. But I just wanted to throw that out. Jeffrey, we appreciate you helping your dad navigate all of this. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Let's head to Michigan. Hi, Sherry. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Awesome. So I feel like it's a little bit of a complex question. I've been divorced about 5.5 years, put my nose to the grindstone, trying to save every little penny that I can. And so kind of in a position now where I've set up a bunch of different CDs and that kind of thing, and kind of to that crossroads of when do you kind of loosen the reins and start to be able to enjoy some of what you've worked so hard to save?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I really appreciate you raising this because it's something we all need to wrestle with. I mean, it'd be great if we could look at God's word and it says, well, you should, you know, live on 62.5% of your income. It doesn't. And so, but what it does is it puts us back in a position where we go to our knees and we say, Lord, what lifestyle have you called me to? And how much is enough for my accumulation? And at what point can I start enjoying some of what I have? And in fact, part of what we see in God's word is that God created a wealth and he entrusts it to us. And one of the reasons, apart from, you know, giving generously and providing for the needs of our family, is enjoyment. And, you know, a lot of times this goes all the way back to our childhood. Some of our earliest memories of money shape how we handle money today. And on top of that, how God has wired us. You know, are we a spender or are we a saver? And how tightly do we hold money in the palm of our hand or how loosely? And, you know, often we will overaccumulate and miss the opportunity to right now both enjoy what we have as well as give some of it away. So I think, you know, planning is always really helpful here, Sherry. Just to give you a thoughtful process to say, to answer the question, how much is enough, which I think is a combination of both you praying through it and asking the Lord, what's the right lifestyle for me and how much should I accumulate? And then alongside that, looking at the financial side and marrying your values and financial goals with the numbers and just saying, okay, if I believe this is the lifestyle God has called me to and I want to be able to maintain this lifestyle in retirement, well, it becomes a financial exercise, a math equation to say, how much do I really need to accumulate in order to be able to maintain this lifestyle in retirement and continue to keep my trust in the Lord, not in my material possessions or my bank account or my investment account. And that would be a function of saying, okay, if I'm living on X amount today, usually in retirement, you know, we would often live on maybe 70 to 80% of our pre-retirement income because the kids are off the payroll. Hopefully we're completely out of debt, including the house. Maybe we drop our life insurance. We're not spending as much on work-related expenses like eating out at lunch and clothing. And so we establish that retirement budget, and then we say, okay, what income sources will I have? Well, I'm going to have Social Security. Well, that was meant to cover about 40% of your pre-retirement income. And so you're going to have to make up that other, the gap with either a 401k that you know, start taking an income from or a pension or some other retirement plan. And you can back into that ultimate savings goal, and then you can call that enough. And from that point, you say, okay, I'm on track to save what I need. You know, yes, you know, things may not play out exactly the way I want, but that's an annual process to evaluate whether you're on track, ahead, or behind. And then ultimately, that frees you up to say, hey, I've got a little bit more than that, and so I can enjoy that. I'm going to take a trip and build memories with people that I love, and you know, I've been wanting to put some money into the house. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I have quite a ways to go before retirement. I'm 42, okay. And my house has been paid off for about 12 and a half years already.
That's great.
That was a God thing for sure, and his timing.
Nice.
Probably one of the most difficult times in life, but yeah, trying to rebuild some of the retirement and feel like I'm doing good, anywhere between 15 and 30%, just kind of dependent on what's going on in life at that point.
That's great.
Is what I'm doing there. And then, yeah.
Well, I think, have you ever done some retirement planning with an advisor, with a financial planner?
Yep. I have been working with somebody for, a couple of years now in that aspect, and have some whole life insurance and some term insurance. My kids are, their life insurance is fully funded because of their dad's medical history. I felt that was super important, that they have something that they can be guaranteed. But yeah, so I have about 8 years yet before my youngest is 18. And so it's like family vehicle, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I have emergency fund of 3 to 6 months,
Let me do this. And I hate to cut you off, Sharon. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but I'd love to finish this conversation. I'm going to have my team get your number, and we'll reach back out to you and see if we can follow this through and bring this to a conclusion. But I really appreciate you being thoughtful about what God's called you to on the savings front. Thanks for being with us today, folks. I'm grateful for my team, Robert, Devin, and Robert. On behalf of them, I'm Rob West. We'll see you next time on Faith and Finance. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.